There is nothing new in the world of sales, except for the history you do not know. Welcome to the Sales History Podcast, bringing the brilliant and sometimes strange minds, methods, and ideas from the sales profession's past with applications to today. Here is your host, best-selling author of The Transparency Sale and The Transparent Sales Leader, keynote speaker, trainer, and nerd, Todd Capone.
Welcome back to the Sales History Podcast. It is good to be back. I have so many things to share with you. There's just so much goodness that I've been able to collect over the last few months. My sales history library / pseudo museum is growing by the day. And today I wanted to start with a concept called the salesman's creed. And what do I mean by that? Well, think about the late 1800s. You had an era where there was a shift going on in the sales profession. A shift from what was historically the bagman or drummer's era, where it was manufacturer's reps that were out on the road selling goods for manufacturers and really without a care in the world. And the primary approach that they would take is drink a lot, tell a lot of jokes, slap a lot of backs, and sell and get out. And as the progressive era of the Industrial Revolution really took hold, you had now had an era where corporations were hiring their own salespeople. They were training their own salespeople. They were paying them variable compensation. They were giving them dedicated territories. And along with it, the reason they were doing that is because reputation mattered. Creating relationships where customers not only bought, but they stayed and they bought more, and they were willing to share the good news of their experience with you became more and more important. And as a result, the entire perception of sales needed to change. There were a number of individuals out there that were really pressing for this change. And you've heard me talk about it in previous issues and episodes, but people like Arthur Sheldon and Worthington Holman were really leaders in this new way of philosophizing around what sales should be. Those were the true sales philosophers. Then there was people like John Patterson that were actually putting it into action with companies like NCR Corporation. And there were others like Burroughs Adding Machine that were doing a lot to bring up the sales profession and create this new trust and admiration for it. Now, when I talk of the salesman's creed, suddenly this concept of these creeds were showing up everywhere in my readings, especially starting in 1905. But you had these philosophers that were saying, hey, listen, for us to be able to uplift this profession, we need salespeople to basically sign off on a creed as to how they are going to act in their profession. And so 1905 is when I found the first couple. There was one by Worthington Holman that showed up in his salesmanship magazines. And then there was another one I managed to get my hands on, and it's an original from 1905 from another guy named Edward Osgood Grover. And so I'm going to read you both. I'd love for you to just listen in and hear what these creeds were, but we're then going to go into how individual industries and individual organizations were developing and sharing their own creeds. Here's the one from Worthington C. Holman. 1905 was the first time it appeared. The Salesman's Creed. To respect my profession, my company, and myself. To be honest and fair with my company, as I expect my company to be honest and fair with me. To think of it with loyalty, speak of it with praise, and act always as a trustworthy custodian of its good name. To be a man whose word carries weight at my home office, to be a booster, not a knocker, a pusher, not a kicker, a motor, not a clog. To base my expectations of reward on a solid foundation of service rendered, to be willing to pay the price of success in honest effort, to look upon my work as opportunity, to be seized with joy and made the most of, and not as painful drudgery to be reluctantly endured. To remember that success lies within myself, in my own brain, my own ambition, my own courage and determination, to expect difficulties and force my way through them, to turn hard experience into capital for future struggles, to believe in my proposition heart and soul, to carry an air of optimism into the presence of possible customers, to dispel ill temper with cheerfulness, kill doubts with strong convictions, and reduce active friction with an agreeable personality. To make a study of my business or line, to know my profession in every detail from the ground up, to mix brains with my efforts and use system and method in my work, to find time to do everything needful by never letting time find me doing nothing, to hoard days as a miser hoards dollars, to make every hour bring me dividends and commissions, increased knowledge, or healthful recreation, to keep my future unmortgaged with debt, to save money as well as earn it, to cut out expensive amusements until I can afford them, to steer clear of dissipation and guard my health of body and peace of mind as my precious stock in trade. Finally, to take a good grip on the joy of life, to play the game like a gentleman, to fight against nothing so hard as my own weaknesses, and to endeavor to grow as a salesman, as a man, with the passage of every day of time. This is my creed. That was the one by Worthington C. Holman in 1905 that appeared to have started it all. But in that same year, like I said, Edwin Osgood Grover also came up with something called the Salesman's Creed, and he copyrighted it. This one's shorter, so here it is. I believe in the goods I am selling, in the firm I am working for, and in my ability to get results. I believe in working, not waiting, in laughing, not weeping, in boosting, not knocking, and in the pleasure of selling goods. I believe that a man gets what he goes after, that one order today is worth two orders tomorrow, and that no man is down and out until he has lost faith in himself. I believe in today and the work I am doing, in tomorrow in the work I hope to do, and in the sure reward which the future holds. I believe in courtesy, in kindness, in generosity, in good cheer, in friendship, and honest competition. I believe there is an order somewhere for every man ready to take one. I believe I am ready right now. That one is Edwin Osgood Grover from 1905. Now, here's the funny thing. As I read further and I kept digging into these, in 1914, someone named J.R. McCleskey wrote, or at least was getting credit for, the need for a salesman's creed in multiple articles, including articles called The Salesman's Creed. In it, the guy had the audacity to write, well, for the lack of a better name, we will call it The Salesman's Creed. And then he wrote word for word what Grover had written just before, stopping after the second to last sentence ending with the word competition. And for years, in multiple articles, McCleskey was getting credit for this creed in a number of books and magazines. Again, exactly the same as Edwin Osgood Grover's, word for word. It literally made me upset. I was like, I got to tell somebody. And gosh, these guys have probably been gone for 100 years. Now, McCleskey aside, what I also found as I was doing my digging is that there was a number of industries that were embracing creeds. And there was also a number of organizations that not only wrote their own salesman's creed, but were using it from a direct mail perspective. Studebaker, which was a big automotive car brand back then, and the Studebaker car, they came up with one, and they used it as direct mail marketing. In 1914, the creed showed up in Motor World magazine, their May 12th edition. And in it, they talked about the fact that multiple sales came from just mailing the creed. And it started with things like, I believe in the Studebaker card because into its making have gone the finest thoughts of men whose name has always symbolized the best in the world of transportation. And then it goes on to say a lot of similar things that you had heard in Holman's version or Grover's version. But that was one from Studebaker. It wasn't just companies that were adopting a salesman's creed. I found an article in something called Boot and Shoe Recorder magazine from February 20th of 1907, and it talked about a whole city having a salesman's creed. It was to the St. Louis salesman, and they had the St. Louis salesman's creed. Now, a lot in it sounds exactly, word for word, what Edwin Osgood Grover says. Almost exactly. However, there are some additions to it. Just talking about this embracing of, you know, the brand that I represent and embracing this idea that I believe that the interests of St. Louis rests with the traveling men, and upon us and upon our class, the responsibility is taken and will be carried out to the glory of the city of St. Louis. So many of these things, there's countless number of them, but what I've also found is I kind of see a revitalization of this concept happening right now. Back then, again, these salesman's creed were an attempt to really start to embrace this idea that the future of sales required consistent execution based on a bed of honesty and doing right by customers. Now, today, it almost feels as though there's a number of groups that are thinking the same way. I have talked to a group coming out of Harvard University. There's a professor there that is creating a trust project. And out of it, they are hoping to publish what is essentially a white paper on what the salesman's creed needs to be in today's era. But Marcus Cauchy over in the UK is doing something very similar. Alex McNaughton is doing a similar project and thinking in a similar way over in New Zealand. So we're seeing this in the U.S., we're seeing this in Europe, we're seeing this out of New Zealand. It's growing, this need to make sure that we do not lose our grip on the revitalization of our profession and ensure that while we can never convert every salesperson to be perfect stewards of the profession, I think if we get enough people thinking this way, that consistency will continue to grow and rise the profession back to at least part of the way to a trusted, respected, and almost admired profession. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this as always. Please reach out. My website is toddcaponi.com. You can contact me through there if you've got feedback, if you've got ideas or things that you want me to research. And again, I so appreciate you giving this a listen, and let's all be good stewards of the sales profession. Look forward to sharing more in upcoming episodes, the next of which is going to be based on this idea of why is the sales profession the way it is? I'm going to give you a mini lesson on the history of sales, but to talk specifically about not only the perception, but the elements of it. Dedicated territories, variable compensation, the way that we think about quotas, etc. So hope you listen in and look forward to sharing that with you next time. All right. Thank you.